Hello and welcome back to Fly Live's F1 podcast. We are back following the winter break. Even though the teams are still on their winter break, we have to get back to work. And with 6 days until the start of the Formula One season at the time of recording, it feels like no better place to start. Once again, I'm joined by Adrian Keeter, Izzy Holman and Kate O'Callaghan. And welcome back, guys. What was your thoughts on the 2020 season and looking forward to the 2021 season?
I thought it was one of the best seasons of the hybrid era sort of so far. I think we get towards the end of like regulation periods, you kind of get some really good seasons because everyone's kind of caught up. So hopefully they won't go back to being awful when the regulations change. But yeah, definitely there was a lot of curveballs. And I think next season has the potential to be just as exciting, if not more so. So, very excited. Can't wait for more racing because I don't know what to do with my Sundays now.
I think we can all agree with that. Adrian, what are your thoughts looking ahead to the 2021 season?
Well, looking back on the 2020 season, it was definitely a rollercoaster of a season. Definitely one of a lot of differences with the calendar especially. And with the many different races that we saw on the calendar, we saw Hamilton absolutely smash it out of the park. Looking forward to 2021, as Izzy already mentioned, new drivers on the grid. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully my weekends will be going back to normal once more when the F1 returns.
Anything you'd like to add, Kit?
I think pretty much you've hit the nail on the head there, you two, so I'll leave it at that.
Anyway, so let's start off by talking a bit more about the 2020 season. So obviously Lewis Hamilton made 7 world titles and gave Mercedes a 7th Constructors world title. Kit, I'm going to come back to you first. Do you think the 2020 season has cemented himself as the greatest driver of all time now? And do you think it's beyond dispute?
I think this is always a very difficult debate to be had for obvious reasons. The cars are so different than what they were 10 years ago, let alone, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And you've got so many amazing drivers throughout history. Fangio, for example, Senna, Schumacher, all of these amazing drivers. So I think it's very difficult to ever call one of them better than the rest just because of the different eras that they were racing in. But certainly in terms of what Lewis Hamilton has achieved in the sport, I think you have to consider him as potentially just the greatest in F1, but maybe not the greatest driver, but just the greatest sort of name because of his wins. He broke so many of Schumacher's records, championships. He's now equaled him on 7 as well. So certainly it has been the season where he has really shown his dominance.
Obviously, Lewis Hamilton has yet to sign his contract for the 2021 season. Izzy, do you think this is just a matter of time? Because now with the deadline is slowly creeping upon us. We thought it'd be sorted over Christmas. Do you think there's any chance we might not see Lewis Hamilton in a Formula One car again?
No, I mean, he's been posting on his social media, he's off climbing mountains and doing like crazy stuff that's like clearly intensive training. And I don't really know why he'd be doing that if he didn't have any intention of getting back in a Formula One car. I was just listening to an Instagram live and they pointed out that Ayrton Senna had a race by race contract in like 92 or 93. So, anything can happen, but I definitely think he's going to be like sort of contract wise. I definitely think he's going to be in that car next year though. I mean, yeah, I guess it's fun to speculate what might happen, but personally, I'd be incredibly surprised if he wasn't in that car.
And Adrian, how long do you think Hamilton has left at the top and as a world champion?
We don't know. That question we can also speculate, but he will obviously be wanting to go for number eight and maybe beyond that for number nine. We don't know. I personally think he might be going for number eight and then calling it quits. Maybe to see someone like George Russell to step into the Mercedes. We never know. But I think maybe after number eight and then he'll call it quits. But definitely he's one of the best drivers ever to compete in an F1 car. And maybe after eight, he will call it quits. So, yeah.
And it's a really interesting scenario we've got here because obviously there's been a lot of speculation about George Russell taking over the reins almost, as to say. And it all depends on Hamilton, whether they stick with Bottas or they go straight to Russell to give a sort of a filtering in period. Izzy, what do you think about Bottas and how long do you think he has left at Mercedes?
I think because of George's performance in Bahrain, that it's kind of shown that he perhaps is ready. I think sort of a couple of seasons at a team, sort of not a so successful team that Williams is at the moment, is sort of character building and will build him as a driver, you know, sort of build him up and give him all the experiences. And I do think it is only a matter of time before their patience runs out with Bottas. I think it's difficult to put a sort of time on it because I think it depends on what Lewis does as well. You know, if Lewis is going to go for like 10 titles, say, then I can see sort of George potentially being Lewis's teammate in those last sort of few seasons. But if he goes for eight and calls it quits, then it just kind of depends on what happens with Lewis, I think, personally, with what they do with Bottas.
Adrian, there's been talk of Bottas being hinting at retirement in recent weeks. Do you think when he leaves Mercedes, he will retire, or do you think he will go to a different team, maybe like a Renault or even a Red Bull? Do you think we could see that, or do you think he's going to, once his time's up at Mercedes, that's it for him?
Yeah, again, we can speculate where he goes. With Valtteri Bottas, he's been at Mercedes for quite some time now, and I really don't know if he'll call it quits after the stint at Mercedes. If he does call it quits, then fair play. But Red Bull have their seats secured. So do everyone else. But If he does call it quits, then fair play. He's had a decent career so far.
And Kit, going to you, what do you make of his time in F1? Adrian said he's had a good run in F1. Do you think he's underperformed, or do you think just it highlights how great Hamilton is? Because Rosberg was able to compete for a couple of years, whereas Bottas hasn't been able to mount a genuine title challenge.
Yeah, I think you've made a good point there about Rosberg. It definitely doesn't look good on Bottas when you look at the rivalry that Hamilton had with Rosberg in 2016, especially when Rosberg was able to clinch that title. And Bottas has never really looked like clinching a title. Certainly there's been moments of brilliance, but there's been far more moments of, what's the polite way of putting it? Not so brilliant, I guess. You know, he's had a lot of disasters out on track. Those however many spins it was in Istanbul last year. Certainly moments for him to forget. So I think he's had a pretty average time in F1. With the car that he's been in for so long now, that Mercedes, you'd really expect him to be pushing Hamilton a bit more than he has been. So I do agree with Izzy as well in thinking that potentially Mercedes will be saying his time's coming for him soon, unless he really starts performing, especially this year. I think this year will be a pivotal year for him in terms of his future in F1. If he doesn't perform this year, I can't see any other teams wanting him, and I can't see him sticking around at Mercedes for that long afterwards, especially with Russell performing the way he did. So it will be a big year for him. as for his career in F1 so far, I think it's been pretty average at best.
Moving on then to Mercedes, well, closest challengers, but not title challengers, Red Bull. Adrian, do you think this is the time for Red Bull to mount a sufficient title charge and even maybe claim it? Because they've got a good experience lineup with Perez and Verstappen, which kind of gives them the consistency they've been looking for in that second seat.
Well, it will definitely take time for Perez to adjust to that Red Bull seat. It goes without a shadow of a doubt, where we've seen in the past two seasons, Pierre Gasly, Alex Albon, two instances right there where they weren't given enough time, I would say, in that seat, and they were a bit rushed quickly. Yes, Perez is an experienced head, and Red Bull will be hoping that he can really adapt and adjust to that Red Bull seat, being an experienced head in F1. With Verstappen, he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. He will be challenging Hamilton. He will be trying to push as hard as he can to get to the level of Lewis Hamilton that he has been for the past couple of seasons. So yeah, Red Bull will still be definitely challenging Mercedes. It will be close. Hopefully, it will be close to so we can see a bit of a title challenge for ourselves, for the viewers at home. So yeah, we will all be hoping that Red Bull can mount a challenge this season.
Do you think this is the last real chance Red Bull are going to get for some time, given that this is their last season with the Honda engine? There's so much speculation about what's going to happen in post-2021 with their engine. Do you think this is the last chance to challenge for the title? The world championship even?
I don't think you can say potentially the last chance, because you never really know what's going to happen in F1. It's a crazy game. And, you know, this engine has, of course, been brilliant for them. The Honda engine has been a fantastic partnership for the team. But going forward, there's absolutely no reason that they won't be able to find a compromise, find something else that works for them as well. You know, F1's all about innovation and technology, and I'm sure the engineers at Red Bull will figure something out and be able to deliver a powerful engine going forward into the future. So I don't think you can write them off, but certainly they are facing an uphill struggle.
And Izzy, what do you make of Max Verstappen's hopes of claiming a world championship? Although it is still early days, he is still 23, I believe. Do you think the looming prospect is there of him becoming one of these great drivers who doesn't quite have the potential to win that world championship?
I think he has it in him. I think that he just needs a competitive car. I mean, as someone who has sort of followed his career and sort of been a fan of him sort of thing since, you know, he came into F1, I'm getting kind of frustrated. Like, you know, and I presume there are a lot of Red Bull and Max Verstappen fans out there that are getting kind of frustrated that the car's just not quite competitive enough. And then this thing with the engine happens, you know, where Honda are pulling out. I think if they can get the intellectual property for the Honda engine and sort of carry that over as an in-house thing, then that's, you know, the right way to go. If not, I don't know what's going to happen. But I think Max definitely has the potential to be an F1 champion. It's just getting the car there.
Yeah, I think nobody's doubting his ability, his raw speed. I think it's just about whether Red Bull can give him that car. But moving on to his teammate last season, Alex Albon. Now, obviously, he had an unfortunate season. He showed glimpses of potential, but never had the consistency Red Bull sought after. And Kit, I'm going to come to you first. What do you think of his F1 career now? Do you think he should have moved back to AlphaTauri, or do you think a year out is good for him?
Hard to say, really. I mean, of course, he doesn't exactly have much choice in the matter. F1's very brutal, and the team principals do tend to be very brutal in their pick selections and where they place their confidence in drivers moving forward. Clearly, on this occasion, Albon was out of favour, and therefore he's been forced into taking a year out. Whether it will benefit him is completely down to himself and his personality. I mean, of course, I don't know him personally. I don't know him well enough to know his mental state, how he's going to be able to cope with this year out. Some drivers will take a year out and come back better and stronger and more willing to prove themselves than ever before. Other drivers might take a year out and think, you know what, I've had enough of this. I don't think Albon is that type to just give up on it entirely. I think he's really enjoyed his short time in F1 so far. So I think he will be one of those drivers that comes back stronger and hungrier than ever. But, you know, who knows?
Izzy, what do you make of it? Do you think, because I think I saw a tweet from Martin Brundle that summed it up perfectly in my eyes, Albon's only 22. He's still younger than most drivers when they start their Formula One career. Do you think he is going to come back better and stronger, like Kit said?
I don't think he'll come back with Red Bull. Their machine is the youngest drivers possible. Get them in the car. I think he was definitely promoted to Red Bull far too early. Like he wasn't one of those like sort of really standout talents, like maybe a George Russell or your Charles Leclerc in the lower Formula series. I think he needed those, you know, sort of seasons in a more midfield team before being pushed to Red Bull, and I think that's unfortunate. So touching on what Kit said, I don't think he's the kind of person that will be defeated by this. He's had quite a few challenges to overcome, both in his racing life and his personal life. And he's kind of pushed on, come back stronger. You know, he got dropped by Red Bull when he was a kid and he sort of came back and proved everyone wrong. So I think there is the possibility for him to come back. I think he needs to do well in the other series that he's doing. What is it? Is it DTM he's doing or something like that next year? I can't remember. But he's doing sort of a sports car series next year. And I think he needs to perform really well in that. Because otherwise I think he'll be stuck, you know, well, stuck. I think lots of people love racing in the sports car series. But he needs to perform really well in that to have a chance of coming back, I think. But I think it's possible.
And Adrian, do you think this is a failure on Red Bull's part, stemming all the way back to the end of the 2018 season when they did promote Pierre Gasly too early, didn't work out for him, they cut their losses very early, promoting Alex Albon, and it hasn't worked out for him? Do you think this is on Red Bull or this is on Albon?
Well, most of the blame will go to Red Bull. They've had two instances now with Gasly and with Albon. Both failed to make a real impact at Red Bull, and it will be going down to Red Bull's fault, promoting younger drivers probably a bit too early. I'd say Verstappen and Ricciardo, they had a quite a good partnership back in the day. They gave Verstappen time to get comfortable with the seat and to get used to the team and look what he's gone on to do. So they promoted the two young drivers a bit too early and didn't give them enough time, which is down to them completely. But now that they've employed Perez, got an experienced head next to Verstappen, and hopefully they can flourish. But yeah, it's all ultimately down to Red Bull for promoting their young drivers way too early and not giving them enough time.
Moving from an inconsistent driver from last season to an inconsistent team, Ferrari, they were big stocks of last year. They didn't go to the way they planned. Sebastian Vettel finished, I think, 13th, whilst Leclerc finished 5th, I want to say. Izzy, coming to you first, do you think 2021 can start the new era of at Ferrari, where they've got a very young driver partnership and really build for the future?
Well, I think they've done something different with their driver partnership, going with sort of their youngest partnership, I think, for, you know, a very long time kind of thing. Clearly, their engine was absolutely awful last year, and they need that to change. And there have been some sort of positive noises coming out of Maranello about, you know, they're quite positive about their engine for next year. I think people underestimate Carlos Sainz a lot, and I think there could be an issue between the two. Ferrari always say, oh, there's not a number one driver kind of thing. And it always, you know, it happened with Charles and Seb in 2019. I can see sort of conflict happening between Carlos and Charles next year, especially because I think Carlos is very fed up of people questioning his move to Ferrari, because obviously they didn't have that good season. So I think he's really hungry to prove himself. And he has, you know, I think he's learned a lot from his time at McLaren. And I think that will show again moving, you know, this is what, fourth F1 team in five, how long is it? You know, six seasons. So he has moved around a lot, and he's managed to sort of prove himself in, you know, or, you know, he's done all right in all of those teams. So I think they might have an issue between the drivers, but I think it's looking good on perhaps the car being a bit better than last year.
Adrian, I just want to get your opinion on something. So Ferrari were found to be breach of the regulations for the engine provider for their engines in 2019. And then the next season, they drop massively behind the field. Do you think that the reason Ferrari had that amazing engine is because they were maybe twisting the rules a little bit?
Basically implying that Ferrari cheated. Is that what you're implying?
I didn't say that. I just suggested it. I think we've lost Adrian there. So, Kit, the same question applies to you.
I'll have to be very, very careful about what I say. I don't want to get angry Italians around my door. But it's, you know, what can I say, really? I'm not a Ferrari mechanic. I'm not part of the team. I don't really know what was going on, but there was certainly something happening. But then again, it's the same with all teams, really. Like, you never know exactly what's going on behind closed doors. Obviously, Mercedes have had all their controversy with the Racing Point incident, the pink Mercedes. So I think every team's got their own sort of bending the rules issues. Ferrari do seem to have gone a bit further than most teams. But again, I just want to be very careful with what I say. I don't want to make any kind of false claims or accusations that I'm not 100% certain of.
And I think, Adrian, are you back now? Can we get your opinion on the matter?
I voice Kit's opinion. I don't want angry Italians at my door. But twisting and bending the rules is... it's a matter that goes on in F1 quite a bit. I mean, whatever happened at Ferrari in the 2019 season is whatever happened there. I really have got no idea what happened with them last season. I mean, the engine clearly played a massive part on their slow decline, shall we say, in the 2020 season. But as Izzy pointed out, there's been good news from Maranello, hopefully on the engine being a bit better from what was at this season. And if it's not bending and twisting the rules, hopefully they do go on to have a good season. Hopefully Charles and Sainz do go on to have a good partnership. But if the partnership sours a little bit, then we might see a bit of tussling and a bit of fighting between there. But yeah, it'll be good to see what happens between Sainz and Charles this season. Hopefully it's a bit more positive than what happened in the 2020 season.
Yeah, I completely agree with what the two of you have said there. I think if that was the reason why they had so much success with their engine, I think it definitely wouldn't be something new for Formula One. I think that most notably the double diffuser, I think, from Red Bull, I want to say, back in 2009, I think it was. So, you know, it is part and parcel of being an F1 team, trying to get every advantage you can. But moving on to one of the high-performing teams of the 2020 season, McLaren. Obviously, they've seen a massive resurgence in the last couple of years, thanks to Carlos Sainz and Lando Norris partnership. Now, Daniel Ricciardo has joined the team. And Kit, do you think Ricciardo is an upgrade on Sainz? Because obviously, he's a proven race winner.
Yeah, I think Ricciardo is a very popular driver with the fans and other drivers alike. He's been in F1 a long time. He knows what he's doing. I think he's very consistent. He put in some brilliant performances, even getting on the podium last season. So I think he is an upgrade, in my opinion. Sainz has always looked a bit less certain of himself. I think he sort of lacks the confidence that Ricciardo brings, especially in his racing, and confidence is absolutely key in F1. You know, if you've got that confidence to go and push for positions, then more than likely you're going to get some positions. Ricciardo's loving his racing at the moment as well, so I think that's going to really help him going forward into the next season. I'm not entirely sure how Sainz is going to perform at Ferrari, but you know, it will speak for itself when the performances and pre-season starts coming in.
Adrian, moving on to you. What are McLaren's realistic expectations for the season? Do you think it's going to be to lead the midfield as they did last season, or do you think they could potentially become consistent challengers for race wins and podiums?
Well, most definitely. I mean, we've seen them. We saw Lando obviously get the podium. We've seen him go ever so close to a race win with Carlos Sainz in Italy. They will be hoping to push on to potentially a better finish than the P3 finish. They'll be looking to even challenge Red Bull this season. They will want to better themselves from what they did this season. And with Daniel Ricciardo and Lando Norris, they'll be looking to definitely push on. Daniel Ricciardo, as Kit mentioned, he had a phenomenal season last season with obviously the podiums, Lando getting a podium as well. So most definitely they'll be looking to get race wins, even more podiums hopefully to come for the boys in orange. And yeah, we'll see hopefully a great partnership from Daniel and Lando, and probably a more banterous one than Carlos and Lando last season.
Izzy, going to you, is there anything you'd like to add about McLaren's resurgence?
I think my sort of hot take is that Lando and Daniel aren't necessarily going to get on as well as everyone thinks, because I think Lando's changing his mindset. He's kind of said he's going to be more serious on social media and things like that. But also I think because Ricciardo's a sort of a step up in competition from Sainz, I think it's going to be sort of more difficult for him mentally that way. I think that relationship that Daniel and Max had at Red Bull, the sort of naughty big brother, do you know what I mean? That, you know, Daniel was kind of, that was what his sort of, how he was with Max, is kind of like the older brother causing mischief. And I think if they can replicate that, then it'll be good. But also, you know, they're going to have a Mercedes engine next year. And I'm really hoping that'll boost them up the grid. But with Ferrari's engine getting better, I think there might be some quite nice battles between Ferrari and McLaren, I'm hoping at least. Because there were quite a few battles actually between Charles and Lando in various different races last year that were quite good. You know, they both race very fairly. They give each other the space, but you get some like nice sort of battling on track between them. And I think we could see more of that between Ferrari and McLaren next year.
Moving on then to one of the most sensational returns on the grid, and it is, of course, Fernando Alonso. And Kit, I'm going to come to you first. What do you make of Alonso's return? Do you think it will be a success in, for the, both himself and Alpine, as they're now known?
Yeah, I think it was about his third time at the team now, isn't it? So you'd hope it would be a success. He's been there before. He probably still knows some of the guys there. So hopefully it won't take him too long to adapt to the car or to F1 as it is now, because a lot has changed since he was last in F1. It might not look like it, but F1's always changing. So certainly there are things for him to learn. He has stayed in racing, though, and he's been very good. So I think he will put in some good performances. I think we can expect him to really be pushing his teammate right from the off. So when we come to our driver predictions, you'll see that I've placed him relatively highly. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table in the new season.
I think he's going to be partnering your favourite driver on the grid. Okay. So, anyway, Adrian, what do you think is Alonso's realistic expectations? Do you think he can match the heights of Ricciardo?
Realistic expectations for Fernando would be a calm and steady start. I mean, it's his first season back since, I want to say, 2018, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong. But yeah, he will be looking to have a calm and steady start, obviously scoring points. Most races will be his aim, depending on where he finishes. Alpine, obviously, technically a new racing car. It is transformed from a Renault. But yeah, it's a new car. We will hopefully expect Esteban Ocon pushing him. Cheers, Kit. But no, realistically, I think Fernando will have a good season. Hopefully, he will be scoring points every race, and hopefully, fingers crossed, maybe he can be up in the higher echelons of the point scorers on a few occasions this season.
And Izzy, going to you, do you think Alonso's return is justified, or do you think one of the Renault young drivers should have been promoted?
I don't think that there are any of the Renault young drivers that are quite ready yet. Obviously, they've got Guan Yu Zhou and Christian Lundgaard, probably the two who are sort of most ready. Obviously, I think if Antoine Hubert had still been alive, there would have been a possibility that he would have got the seat, quite a strong possibility. But as it is, they're just not quite there yet. And so kind of they had to look elsewhere. And, you know, Alonso's Alonso. You don't really say no to him. He's a strong personality, shall we say. I'm very interested to see how he does. Obviously, he's, you know, sort of an old man in terms of the rest of the sort of ages on the grid. And it'll be interesting to see him back in an F1 car. He hasn't, you know, as Kit said, he's not sort of not been racing at all, but obviously F1's F1, and it's kind of the pinnacle, so it'll be interesting to see where he comes, and sort of as well how sort of the changing up in the management at now Alpine, because obviously Abitbol's gone, so we'll see.
And moving on to, I think, what many people had as their driver of the season, George Russell. I think he definitely proved himself at the top level. And Adrian, let's come to you first. Do you think he deserved to replace Bottas? Because there was talk towards the end of the season that there was, you know, a possibility that Bottas and Russell could switch for the 2021 season.
Yes, Russell did have a very good season last season, obviously replacing Lewis Hamilton for that one race at the Sakhir Grand Prix, which saw him unfortunately miss out on the race win. I'd say on the George Russell situation, to give him one more season at Williams. Yes, he did have a good season, but he still needs to learn. He still needs to learn, and if that consistency does continue this season, he will definitely be pushing for that seat, especially being within the Mercedes young driver program. So hopefully we can see him go into Mercedes for the 2022 season. But for this season, I think he will stick at Williams, continue his consistency, and hopefully jump into that seat, not this season, but next season.
Izzy, do you think being stuck at the back of the field for a third straight season is going to hamper Russell's development? Because, you know, the likes of Lando Norris, who's been competing around the midfield, even Charles Leclerc, who's only been in the sport for one extra year, is going to be competing higher up. Do you think this could limit his development?
I think potentially, sort of, you know, in his first year in F1, he wasn't even really racing against anyone else apart from maybe Kubica. So I think that was very detrimental. You know, well, not, it's difficult to say how detrimental that was, but you know, when the car's so poor that you're not even racing any other cars, that's difficult. But this season, last season, even he was, you know, that Williams did make quite a big step forward, and they were racing other cars. You know, he had, you know, got into Q2. So I think there's definitely a lot to take from that, and I think those experiences, I think I said earlier, those experiences in a sort of team that's not as competitive can be very character building. But I think if you leave him there too long, he's going to become frustrated and sort of jaded and just get sort of angry. But then again, if he hadn't got those points for Mercedes, Latifi would have actually come ahead of him in the championship, based on sort of count back and, you know, where they finished. I don't know how much of that was, you know, George DNFing and things like that, but yes, he is an incredible driver, and I, you know, fully think that he deserves that Mercedes seat, but he's still young and he's still got developing to do.
And Kit, what do you think Russell can do this season? Do you think he could knock up a few points? Do you think it'll be about consistently becoming a Q2, getting into Q2 or even Q3?
I think he'd be looking at getting a few points. I think his little stint with Mercedes last year, that oh so sad event that it was for him, I think that's really going to push him coming forward into this season, because he's going to want to get that Mercedes seat back as soon as he can. So therefore, I think he's really, really going to be putting in the performances. I think it's going to give him more drive. I think it would have matured him a lot more as well. So even though he's still very new to F1, I think he's going to have, you know, a more of a calm head for the sport and for racing. So I can see him really getting a lot more points on the board this year.
Now moving on to the fun part of the show today. So I want each of you to give me both your favourite or the best race of the season and your driver of the season from last year. So I'll go first. I think my favourite probably have to be Monza, Pierre Gasly's win. And then driver of the season, I've gone for Checo Perez. So Izzy, why don't you start?
Mine are the same as yours. Monza, it was that first, you know, we had other really great races after that, but for me, that's the sort of first one where it was like, whoa, this is crazy, that sticks in my mind. And then, yeah, Checo, I mean, he got his first win. He's got a Red Bull seat now. He just had a really solid season, and really showed, you know, why he deserves to be in F1.
What was yours?
See, I would be tempted to say exactly the same as you two, but just to create a bit of difference, Now, this might come as a shock, so brace yourselves, but I genuinely want to say the Sakhir Grand Prix as one of my favourite moments, because although it didn't work out for Russell, just seeing him in that Mercedes and all the drama of the race and, you know, the nice sort of almost oval circuit, it was just a good difference after what was quite a monotonous season with Hamilton just kind of winning pretty much every race. So I want to say Sakhir Grand Prix as my favourite of the season. And best driver, I think it's got to be Checo. Just the fact that he had coronavirus, came back and was still just as good and raced so well all season, Mr. Consistent, I think I'm going to have to go for him.
And Adrian, on to you.
Well, funnily enough, I think I'm going to make it for free for the Monza Grand Prix, seeing Pierre Gasly win that race ever so tight between him and Carlos. yeah, it was great to see that race. And for best driver, I'm going to give it to Pierre. Especially for that race victory at Monza, where it was highly unlikely. But out of the blue, here comes Pierre Gasly, zooming in his AlphaTauri down the straight and through the finish line first. So I'm going to give it to Pierre Gasly.
Very nice options, everyone. So there has been a few changes to the calendar. So obviously the Australian Grand Prix is no longer the first race of the season. That's been pushed back into race 21 before Saudi and Abu Dhabi. The Chinese Grand Prix has been cancelled completely. Imola has come in to take its place. And one word answer, guys. What would you say, what would you give the final to be confirmed race to? There's talks of China, Malaysia, Turkey, or even a different option. So, Kit, you first.
Portimao, honestly. I don't understand why it would be any other choice than Portimao. It was a brilliant race and it fits right into the schedule. Like, I think it's in between Spain and, what is it, Spain and something else? Someone else will have to find out the other one for me. But it fits exactly in. It seems like it's a perfect race. So I don't understand why they would put it anywhere else.
I think it's between Imola and Spain. But Adrian, on to you. I think you're very agree with a statement from Kit there.
I'm going to say again, Portimao, bring it. Hashtag bring Portimao back. Yes, bring it back. Honestly, I agree with Kit. It's between Imola and Spain. Perfectly slot it in between Portimao. Hashtag bring it back. Hashtag 2021 Portimao. Let's go.
Is it a clean sweep?
Yeah, I think I'd have to say, I mean, Portimao or Turkey, but Turkey doesn't really make sense in the calendar there. Portimao, you know, it's Portugal. It's in between Italy and Spain. You know, like, why would you not put that there? And it was such a great race. It provided us with such great racing. So yeah, I think I'm gonna have to make a clean sweep. I've lost the ability to speak. A clean sweep and make it Portimao.
As much as I'd like to see Malaysia return, or even an ice rink of Turkey, I think we're gonna have to make it 4 out of 4 and go for Portimao as well. But anyway, I've given you three a little task before today. I think only one of you has actually done it. I would like your championship standings 1 to 20. And first of all, I'm going to ask the 20th to 16th, so the bottom five drivers from this season. And Izzy, as you were the only one that prepared prior to the podcast starting, I would like you to go first.
Am I going from 20 upwards? Okay, so 20th, we've got Mazepin. I'm not going to say any more about that. 19th, we've got Latifi, Issa Williams. 18th, we've got Giovinazzi. He had some good moments last year, I thought. 17th, Schumacher. And 16th, Raikkonen. I was debating whether to put Schumacher ahead of Raikkonen, but that sounds, we could be talking about the 90s. But Raikkonen got experience and Mick's kind of shown that he does need a bit of time to settle into a car. So I've gone, that's what I've gone for.
Adrian, on to you.
I've gone 20th Nicholas Latifi. I think he will be bottom of the barrel again. I'm sorry, but I think he will. 19th, I'm going to go with Mazepin. 18th, Mick. I think those two will settle, but hashtag. I'm against Mazepin. I'm sorry, but no. That guy, no. But okay. 17th, I'm going to go with Giovinazzi. And then 16th, I'm going to go with Raikkonen.
Yep.
Similar but not the same. And also, I just want to point out, I had done this. I have made a few edits since the podcast began, but this was done 1 to 20 before the podcast began. Right. So 20, I've gone for Mazepin, if not for his performances, because he's going to get so many penalties for being an idiot that he will end up last anyway. 19th, I've gone Latifi. 18, I've gone for Mick Schuey. 17, Tsunoda. 16, Giovinazzi.
Interesting. Well, I've gone for Mazepin in 20th. I don't think he's that quick. I think he only finished 5th in F2. Latifi, I've gone for 19th. He had a few good performances last season. Got 11th place. Schumacher in 18th. Giovinazzi 17th. And I've gone for George Russell, as much as it pained me to say. I've had to go for George Russell in 16th place. So, Izzy, back to you. 15th to 11th. Next 5 drivers.
So, I've gone for George Russell, 15th. I had to sort of try and manifest it, which is why I put my head of Raikkonen instead of below him, which I think is probably what you've done, Ethan. Ocon's 14th. I mean, I've put Alonso quite a bit higher than that, so, you know, we'll see. Tsunoda 13th. He is quick. And, you know, like small people unite, so you've got to back it. 12th, I've gone for Stroll. And 11th, I've gone for Pierre Gasly.
Well, I think all three of you will be in the small person United club. Kit, on to you.
Yeah, Tsunoda is quick, but I have little faith in rookies. Call me a cynic, but it is what it is. So 15th, I also went for Russell. 14th, Kimi. 13th, I've gone for Ocon, my favourite. 12, oh, hang on, how much are we going up to? 12? 11. 11, okay, my bad. So 13th, Ocon. 12, Gasly. 11th, Alonso.
Okay, and Adrian?
I've actually gone exactly the same as Izzy. So I've gone 15th, Russell. 14th, Ocon. 13th, Tsunoda. 12th, Stroll. 11th, Gasly.
I think there's a couple of contentious decisions, especially Kit, maybe Alonso, a little bit low. But 15th, I've gone for Raikkonen. I think he is going to edge out Russell this season. I've gone for Tsunoda in 14th. I think it's AlphaTauri is definitely quicker than the back of the field, but I don't think he's going to adjust quite as well as Adrian and Izzy said. I've gone for Ocon in 13th. I've gone for Gasly in 12th and Stroll in 11th. And so then, Izzy, 10 to 5.
Wait, no, 10 to 6.
That's what I meant.
Can't do maths. 10th, I've gone for Vettel. Although I am kind of rethinking where I've put Aston Martin, because I just, you know, obviously Checo did very well and came a lot higher than 10th, and the highest driver I put for them is Vettel in 10th. So we'll see that one. So 10th Vettel, 9th Alonso, 8th Norris, 7th Sainz, and Ricciardo in 6th. It gets really difficult when you get to the top, but we'll just see. I didn't really put a lot of thought in, I just went with my gut, so we'll see if that comes off.
Adrian, on to you. No, Kit.
So yeah, 10th I've gone for Mr. Lance Stroll, 9th Lando Norris, 8th Vettel, 7th Carlos Sainz, and 6th Danny Ric.
And now Adrian on.
Thank you very much. I've gone a bit controversial. You will probably think that I've gone I'm an absolute lunatic, but I've gone Alonso 10th, Ferrari of Carlos Sainz in 9th, Norris in 8th, Leclerc in 7th, and Perez in 6th.
Wow. We'll have to wait and see what you do for your top five there. But in 10th, I've gone for Alonso. 9th, I went for Vettel. And then I was debating 8th and 7th, which way around to have them. But I've gone for Norris in 8th and Sainz in 7th. And then I went for Leclerc in 6th. So, Izzy, give us your top five.
My top five are Leclerc in 5th, Perez 4th, Bottas 3rd, Verstappen 2nd, Hamilton 1st. I've got a back for Verstappen. We can't have another Merc 1-2. Something's got to change.
Kit?
First of all, can we just talk about, did you say Alonso 10th after slating me for putting him low in 11th? Anyway, my top five, Leclerc, pretty much the same as Izzy's, but I've gone for the 1-2. So my top five, Leclerc 5, 4 is Perez, Verstappen 3, Bottas 2, and Lewis Hamilton, if he actually signs the paper as champion.
I'm going to gloss over that fact. Adrian, you're 5-1.
I'm sorry, but I don't think I quite said that. But moving on from your very rubbish statement, Kit, my top five is Vettel for Aston Martin in 5, Ricciardo in 4, Bottas 3, Verstappen 2, Hamilton 1.
Very interesting. I've gone for Daniel Ricciardo in 5th. I was thinking about putting him 4th, but I did go for 5th in the end. Valtteri Bottas in 4th. I went for Sergio Perez in 3rd, Max Verstappen in 2nd, and Lewis Hamilton as everybody else did to get his 8th world championship. So a few interesting things. We'll have to wait and see how it turns out. I know who's going to be wrong. But anyway, that is all we have time for on this episode of the Fly Life F1 podcast. Thank you to Izzy Holman, Kit O'Callaghan and Adrian Keith for joining me. I've been Ethan Evans and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Goodbye.